What up, what up, what up, everybody? This is the Dr. Football Podcast. I, as always, am your host, Dr. Dennis Tien. Yes, I am a real doctor, but no, we aren't talking anything to do with medicine. We are talking football. We are talking New England Patriots. And very specifically, this is the me gloating episode of the Dr. Football Podcast. My chance to gloat to all of you for my accurate prediction that the Patriots would cut Bailey Zappe. With me, as always, is my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, no stranger to great predictions himself, Justin Fine. Justin, what's going on, my brother? How are you?
You know, I'm good, man, but I gotta say, I'm shocked. I know we're gonna get into it. I'm pumped for you. You got the Zappe pick in, and that was a great call. I think a lot of people didn't expect that, didn't see that coming. There are probably a lot of shocked faces in New England right now. But I think there's a lot more than just Zappe getting cut, and I'm excited to break it down.
There is a lot more, and I mean, the most stunning thing to me is that there's only one quarterback and two running backs on this roster, and right, it's 11 days until the season. I mean, that is just stunning. And I hear that, and I'm just like, has Belichick lost his marbles? Has Belichick lost his mind? Like, this is we've seen Belichick push some really bizarre limits of conventional wisdom over the years where he's been here. This is really taking it about as far as I feel like he's ever gone. To have one quarterback and two running backs, no fullbacks, how are they going to have a team ready to field in 11 days?
I mean, it's absolutely crazy. You know what? I don't understand, first off. I mean, like, I'm just trying to wrap my head around it. I'm trying to figure out how you can head into the season. Like, you know, running back is so vulnerable in terms of their health, in their availability, and you're only going in with two guys, one of which is an aging veteran. And then, you know, I get it. Maybe, you know, this is your confident statement in Mac Jones putting all the rumors to bed. Well, I mean, there's literally no controversy now because he has absolutely no one to even compete with. I mean, one quarterback on the roster, it's absolutely bananas.
It's bananas. And let's not forget, what have we been talking about all winter, spring, and summer long is the issues on the offensive line. And I would say it's pretty much inevitable that Mac Jones is going to get hurt. Let's not forget, this offensive line got two quarterbacks hurt last year in the first 4 weeks of the year. Both Mac and Hoyer went down. That's how Bailey Zappe even got in the game. And here they are with no backup quarterback. And they're, oh, by the way, playing a team that had 70 quarterback sacks in week one of in the Eagles, 15 more than the team that was second in the league in sacks, by the way. The best pass rushing team in the NFL, who added arguably, or maybe even not arguably, the best pass rusher in the draft in Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
This is insane. It is absolutely insane. All right, let me start with it. This is going to be a smaller episode of the podcast. We're not going to do the full thing, but we wanted to come on and talk a lot about really the roster, and especially the shocking decision to cut Bailey Zappe. I just want to say, Justin, and we're going to kind of break down the Zappe thing from multiple angles. Patriots perspective, Zappe perspective, Max perspective. To me, the decision to cut Bailey Zappe, and you can call this a kickoff if you want, is a vote of confidence in Mac Jones more than anything else. This is a quarterback-driven league, and you need a good quarterback to win, maybe not a great one. You maybe don't need Mahomes or Josh Allen, but you need Matt Stafford. You need Joe Flacco. You need at least a good one. This franchise is going nowhere until they develop a good quarterback, a franchise quarterback. Bailey Zappe deserves to be on this team. You know that I am not a Zappe fan. I did not catch Zappe fever. I've been the one saying for 5 weeks that his job was in trouble, which is why I'm gloating tonight. But all that said, I do believe Bailey Zappe is a competent backup. And on a team with offensive line issues, a competent backup is a valuable thing. A guy that can come in and win you a game or two or three, or at least put you in position to win when your starter is down, is a valuable thing. Bailey Zappe should be on this roster if we're making that decision based on merit alone. So why is he gone today? The main reason he's gone today is because of Zappe fever, Zappe mania, chanting Zappe's name in the stands, because him and Mac don't get along, because of all the connotation around Zappe and how he became this thing. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. The juice was not worth the squeeze for a backup quarterback to bring that level of complexity to the guy who is your best hope to develop a franchise quarterback in Mac Jones. That's why Bailey Zappe's gone today, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's absolutely ridiculous that you don't have a backup. I mean, I would have been okay with getting rid of Bailey Zappe and keeping like a Malik Cunningham and seeing like, you know, just taking a shot on the kid. I mean, I'm looking up and down at the 53-man roster and I can find a couple guys that I'd rather have Malik over then. But, you know, when you're talking about Bailey Zappe, I really do think it was exactly that, right? I think this was a real get all the distractions out of the way power move, just a total vote of confidence in Mac Jones. I mean, you know, when I look at what Bill just did, I look at Bill basically saying, hey, all I want to hear about is Mac Jones and how he's the quarterback of the New England Patriots. I don't even want to open up or entertain the possibility of a question that we are considering a quarterback change or making a move or this or that. This was a 100% put all that to bed. Do I agree with not having a backup quarterback in the roster? That's a whole different story. No, that I think is crazy, but I think it makes a clear vote of confidence in a clear, you know, statement. The one thing I will say is, you know, you look, and you know, you said it, one quarterback, two running backs. I mean, even two tight ends, you know, a lot of teams, I feel like, carry three or four. But, you know, let's just focus on the running backs and quarterbacks. Three total between running back and the quarterback room, right? I'd say that's a good four to five short from what the average roster's carrying. And you say, okay, what's the move? Like, why was that the move, right? Like, why the need to be so snippy and selective at that position and just not give any of those young guys or backups a chance? And let's look at where like they beefed up, right? They're carrying 11 linemen. They're carrying 12 in the secondary, right? They're carrying 7 wide receivers. Like Bill clearly looked at this and did a little 2 + 2 = 4 and said, we need as much help as possible on the O-line, in our young secondary, and at the wide receiver position, and everywhere else, we're trimming the fat. We're showing we're confident in Mac. We're showing we're confident in Ramondre, and we just brought in Zeke, and everybody else can figure it out. That's really what that was.
He's going to have to bring in some bodies into the backfield. Like, you can't go into the season with the roster constructed like this. So I don't know what's going to shake down over the next couple days, but something else has to happen. Like, something, this can't be the final roster. Don't forget this, Justin, about Mac Jones. He made the Pro Bowl his rookie year. He had one of the 10 best rookie seasons a quarterback has ever had statistically. Love him or hate him, you can't take that away from him. He was voted to the top 100 player list by his peers. To all the things he's said or done, that is, to me, the most encouraging, that his peers voted him to the NFL top 100 his rookie year. He is the best hope for this franchise. People may love him, they may hate him, it doesn't matter. Here's the reality: we're all in on Mac Jones. And we have been since the day they drafted him with the 15th pick in the NFL draft. So getting rid of Zappe is really just giving Mac the best chance he can to flourish. I personally don't. I mean, do you agree with the decision, or you don't agree with it?
The decision to get rid of Zappe or to just go one quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, go with, just get rid of Zappe. Like, doesn't it depend on who else they bring in, right? Like, I guess if they bring in Colt McCoy, say, are you okay with them getting rid of Zappe if they bring in Colt McCoy?
I'm okay with them getting rid of Zappe if they just keep one other guy. Like, I was okay taking a chance on a former, like, you know, you mentioned last episode, the former Penn State connection with Trace McSorley. I was okay with taking a chance on, you know, Lamar Jackson Jr. and Malik Cunningham. Like, it didn't need to be Zappe. I'm just very surprised that they're not even considering the potential of having another viable quarterback on that roster. Because you know what? If something does happen to Mac, guess what? You're either going to the practice squad or you're going to free agency. And this Patriots offense isn't exactly the friendliest to just join on day one and thrive. So, I mean, you know what? You're taking a big risk. You're making a big statement, but you're making an even bigger risk.
Are you glad that the Zappe fever, Mac Zappe drama nonsense is over? I got to be honest, like, this preseason, I found myself rooting against Zappe at times. I know that sounds awful, but that's really how I felt. That I just, there's something about him, something about all the ridiculousness of what happened last year. I'm happy that I don't have to hear from, like, the Zappe fever, the Zappe zealots, and just this, like, irrational fixation on this fourth round quarterback. I'm glad it's over. Are you glad that you will not have to hear anything else about Zappe fever, presumably, unless they bring him to the practice squad, I guess?
Well, look, you know what? Yes, but there's a caveat to that, right? Like, we were only hearing about Zappe fever because of what we were seeing on the field and the result that we were getting, right? Like, let's call it what it is. Like, we weren't chanting for Zappe because, you know, we were thriving and we were successful doing what we were doing. Now, we switched up, you know, 50% of that equation, which was getting rid of Matt Patricia and bringing in a competent offensive coordinator in Bill O'Brien. But you know what? I'm okay with rolling with Mac Jones. I like Mac Jones. I think he deserves this and he deserves this opportunity. But I don't want to act like Zappe fever came out of thin air, because it was a product of a lack of performance and a lack of results. In Mac, you know, while he has that new OC, he still has to go out there and prove himself.
He does. And this to me, like, this is why I thought they might cut Zappe, and why I was maybe the only person in New England that wasn't super surprised when they cut him, because to me, it almost had to be this way. But for Mac to have the best chance to ascend to what we hope he can be, there was no way, or Zappe in the locker room was just going to be like a huge impediment, another thing for Mac to overcome. Well, you got a bad offensive line, below average receivers, three offensive coordinators in 3 years, and oh, by the way, you got this guy like snipping at your heels who keeps saying he's going to take your job. I felt like that was not a fair or sustainable thing to Mac, especially given how poor Zappe had performed in the preseason. Why keep this guy around? So I felt like it had to be this way. Everything you're saying about Mac is right in terms of, like, all the questions around him. They're all justified. Even the biggest Mac zealot or fan in the world has to admit it's fair to question if this guy can play quarterback in the NFL. But there was no good that was going to be kept, in my opinion, from keeping Zappe around. So I think it had to be this way. I really do. I think they had to do this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Bill thought this was the best move, right? And you know what? I have to say, just calling it like I see it, after what I saw in Zappe in this preseason, you know, I was ready to, you know, temper my expectations as to what type of the quarterback he was and what type of quarterback he could be. And I don't hate them moving on from him. Like, you know, like, again, we can talk about carrying one quarterback as a totally separate conversation, but in terms of getting over the Zappe controversy, in terms of, you know, unifying the locker room, maybe, in terms of, you know, putting that vote of confidence, that statement, not only to the public, but internally behind Mac Jones, in that sense, I'm okay with getting rid of Zappe.
Yeah, I think a lot of Patriots fans, while they were totally blindsided by the move today, I think a lot more Patriots fans think like you do than we might realize. The Zappe fever people are vocal, but I'm not sure they're actually the majority of Patriots fans. One thing, Justin, that has really kind of infuriated me today a little bit is that I've heard a lot of people say that this was Bill O'Brien's decision. O'Brien and Zappe had a huge blowout on the field on Friday night. And I think people are trying to say that maybe Belichick didn't really have a say in this, or this was Bill O'Brien's choice. And I got to tell you what drives me crazy about that is that we can't cherry pick which choices we're going to put on Belichick based on our own personal preferences. We've been saying all offseason long that pretty much every move this team has made reeks of Bill Belichick in his hand, in his way of doing things, you know, from the draft to free agency to the contracts. I mean, to the way camp has been done, everything, Belichick, even the roster that they put together today. I don't think this move gets a special exception. Like, to me, this move ultimately goes back to Bill Belichick, not Bill O'Brien. I don't think we can cherry pick decisions and say, well, that one I'm going to put on Bill O'Brien because it serves my narrative, and that one I'm going to put on Bill Belichick because it serves my narrative. No, it's all Bill Belichick, still very much in command. Do you agree, Justin, that this is a Bill Belichick? This ultimately is a Bill Belichick decision and no one else.
Look, saying that there's nobody else involved, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. But if you...
Well, there's input, but who's the final decision?
Well, that's exactly it, right? Who has been the final decision? It's always been Bill, right? Like, there's never been a question. Bill has been the coach. He has been the GM. He has been the end-all be-all in this franchise since we can remember. And you know what? Looking at this decision and somehow trying to attribute it vastly to another member of the organization, like, you know, it might create a nice article or some nice buzz because of a little on-field interaction that happened between the two of them. But let's not pretend like this is not always, and for the foreseeable future until he goes, will be 99% Bill's decision with everything that happens at this organization.
Put it this way. If Bill Belichick loves Bailey Zappe, Bailey Zappe will be on the team.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
There's no doubt about it. Like this. I mean, I don't think Belichick. I don't think Belichick's in there with Zappe. I don't think he ever was. But if there was a disagreement between O'Brien and Belichick, Zappe stays. This was Bill Belichick's choice. And in a sense, you know, one of the things we talked about in the last few weeks of the podcast was how there's always a roster surprise. Belichick's always capable of some last second surprise. And this is a classic Belichick type move, right? Doing some, just the whole, everything. It's just classic Belichick. Do you read anything, Justin, into the fact that they cut Trace McSorley yesterday and Zappe today? Belichick has a habit of cutting players that he favors earlier to give them a better chance. Any read into the timing of the Zappe cut in relation to McSorley being released?
I mean, if anything, maybe it tells me that the Zappe decision was a little bit closer and maybe, you know, a little less of a calculated foregone decision than we thought. Like, maybe it really did come down to the fact that, hey, Bill at the last second was just had to make some tough choices. And, you know, Zappe was one of those guys. I think it would lean more towards that than the fact that he values Trace McSorley higher than Bailey Zappe. Because I think if that was the case, I think we would have seen McSorley, getting the majority of the reps in, or at least a chance at getting the majority of the reps in the preseason games, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just wonder if, you know, if they really like McSorley just on a personal level more, if they felt like cutting him was giving him a better opportunity to land on his feet somewhere else, cutting him a day early. And if there's any insight into how they might really feel about Zappe. Like, I really think it's very possible, and you might think this is crazy, but like, it kind of goes antithetical to what a lot of people have been blabbering about and saying in the media for a long time, but it might just be very possible that they don't really like Bailey Zappe all that much. I mean, who was it that liked Bailey Zappe? It was Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, which to me is almost a damning indictment of the kid. If those two buffoons are your biggest proponents, two guys that have literally no business being anywhere near an offensive coaching staff, are the two guys that liked you best. I think that's almost like a damning indictment of the player, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, well, the one thing I don't want to say is, it's actually, I mean, it's funny because I guess it's counterintuitive to what we just saw, but like, you know, I don't know if we can say that, you know, Belichick had no affinity towards Zappe, at least to begin with, right? I mean, ultimately, he made the decision to bring him in, right? And he drafted him. And, you know, he made the decision to go with him in some key situations. So, I really do wonder, you know, how much of it was a personal dislike from the coaches, and maybe how much of it was just like a, hey, we really need to beef up some other areas, and we got a quarterback who is just causing distractions and problems for our starter.
We'll never know, but I just think it's worth mentioning that the narrative in this town for the last year has been Belichick hates Mac, Belichick loves Zappe, Belichick wants to push Mac out for Zappe. You know, like, that's what we've been speculating. Belichick did this, he's undermining Mac. Belichick did that, he's undermining Mac. You know, that's a huge part of what a lot of people that cover this team and talk about this team have been saying since last fall. And I'm just saying that, at what point do we start to throw that narrative out as being just total BS? Like, it could be that Belichick doesn't really like Zappe all that much, or didn't really like the way he carried himself. I mean, I watched the way Bill O'Brien laid into this kid on Friday night, and I'm sorry, that was vitriol. Like, that was genuine frustration, if not dislike or disgust, from Bill O'Brien to Bailey Zappe. Maybe it's time, now that Zappe has been cut, that we reexamine the take that somehow Belichick doesn't like Mac Jones and favored Bailey Zappe, and the coaching staff favored Bailey Zappe. Maybe it's time to reexamine that.
Yeah, I mean, look, hey, you know what? At this point, like, that's a good of an option as any. We'll never know, because I doubt Bill will ever come out and say anything. And you know what? At this point, we just have to hope that Mac can stay healthy, because he literally does not have another option.
Can I one last question? Then we're going to wrap up this micro episode of the Dr. Football podcast. Any chance, Justin, they bring him back to the practice squad? Would you bring Bailey Zappe back to the practice squad if he clears waivers?
Well, I would, because if he was back on the practice squad, I think that accomplishes two things. I think that gives you a semi-competent, semi-familiar with the system quarterback. And by the same token, having him on the practice squad basically squashes any sort of beef between him and Mac, because it's not even a conversation. There's no thought, right? You're in the practice squad, I'm the starting quarterback, right? You couldn't even cut it as my backup here. There is no controversy. He is not coming for his job. He is strictly there as an insurance policy. So which I would be surprised if he is able to clear waivers, I wouldn't hate bringing him back in the practice squad.
Yeah, I think, I guess that's a great point. I think that maybe it's better just to make a clean break and move on. But I also think that it depends on who they can bring back too, because the reality is, Justin, they need two quarterbacks. They need a backup quarterback, and then they need a third string quarterback. They have neither right now. You know, if you could accomplish the mission of ending Zappy fever and Zappy mania, but still somehow keep them invested or involved with your franchise through the practice squad, then maybe you kind of can have your cake and eat it too. You know, so that's a legitimate option. But I think that, and I guess this is the last thing I'll bring up, and I'll see I'd like to see what you think about it too, which is they have to do something else at quarterback. So what is the path forward for this team at quarterback now that Zappy is gone and they have one quarterback on the roster? What would you do? Did they go aggressively after Colt McCoy? Is there someone else out there that they're looking at? What is the map?
You know, I think they've pretty much made the statement that, you know, anybody that we bring in here is just hopefully to be a, you know, if anything, one of the reasons why, like you saying, Colt McCoy, is because I think one of the main reasons why they're not, you know, keeping any of those younger guys is just because they're younger guys, right? I feel like this is a team that, and an organization and a coach that have always liked having a veteran quarterback in the roster. We saw them do it with Brian Hoyer all those years, right? And prior to him, there was always kind of a veteran guy, in the room behind Brady, I feel like. And you know what? I think if anything, that's what we'd be likely to see. I think we'd be likely to see a veteran guy that we could bring in, sign for the practice squad, maybe call him up when the need be. There's no question about whether he's there to be the next franchise quarterback or the next starting guy. He's just there to be a veteran presence, a locker room presence, help Mac, fill in when you need him. And if that's Colt McCoy, great, because I think Colt McCoy looked not half bad when he was doing it for the Cardinals last year.
I think McCoy and Mac have similar skill sets. McCoy is known to be a smart guy. I think he'd do well in the Patriots system. I'm not saying that he's Joe Montana, but he's been 3-3 the last few years when he's had to start. And I think if Mac did go down for a few weeks, you'd be in capable, competent hands with Colt McCoy. This team has cap room. So go out there, make an aggressive bid for Colt McCoy, and put him on this team, because to me, it's inevitable that Mac Jones is going to get hurt this year. And it might be early when you look at those first four opponents that they have. So I'm all for, I think you have to bring in McCoy. And if you have to overpay for him, so be it. And I think you need to find a young guy that you like, and you need to put him on your practice squad and get him in your system, because last year they needed a third string quarterback. I mean, that's what happens when you have a bad offensive line. It could well be again that this year they're going to need that person. So, and there's no rookie or draft pick. They didn't draft anyone that they could bring in. Well, they drafted Broden Cunningham and they cut him. So maybe he's the guy. Maybe he'll come back on the practice squad, but they need to bring in either Cunningham or another practice squad player. And they need to bring in a veteran who I hope will be Colt McCoy. Last thing I'm going to say, Justin, then we're going to wrap up this episode. I mean, look, we're all laughing at the Arizona Cardinals for what they did, in trading all the players they traded, cutting Colt McCoy. Kyler Murray's not going to be ready till week 5. It looks like they're tanking for Caleb Williams or someone in the draft that they like. The hallmark of bad NFL franchises, the hallmark of mediocre NFL franchises, is quarterback instability. At the end of the day, the large big picture here is that the joke is on all of us, because the New England Patriots quarterback room is still very, very unsettled. And we can all point a finger and laugh at the Arizona Cardinals for being a joke franchise. But I ask you, how far away are the Patriots really from that point? At this point in time, Mac has the opportunity this year to step up and be that guy. But until he proves it on the field and does it, this team has instability in the quarterback room. And that is the definition of a middling or worse NFL franchise. And that this today's events, as much as I will relish and be gleeful and gloat about the Bailey Zappe being cut, at the end of the day, this is just a commentary of where the franchise is right now, and it is not a good place.
Yeah, I think we have to look at this, though. I will say this. I think we have to look at this and say this is probably the closest point we've been since Brady left to having a firm, not only understanding or expectation, I think, as a fan base, but I think an affirmation from the coaches and the staff of who our next franchise quarterback is. It clearly wasn't Cam Newton, right? Mac Jones, we brought him in. Even up until this very point, I think it was questionable whether he was the guy. I think this was a very clear move that he's the guy. And now look, if Mac goes out and underperforms this year and does not play well, 100% could see him being moved or could see somebody new coming in 2024. But for what it's worth, I think this is the closest we've been to having a firm grasp on who our franchise quarterback is.
Well, to your point, isn't that the only thing that separates the New England Patriots from the Arizona Cardinals or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or I don't know, name a couple other of the really bad teams in the league, is that Mac Jones represents the potential of a path forward for them to get a franchise quarterback again. Some of you may love him. Some of you may hate him. Some of you might believe in him. Some of you may not. But this whole year, the whole direction of this franchise, the crossroads they're at right now, it is entirely hinging upon what Mac Jones becomes or doesn't become in 2023. If Mac Jones is not a good quarterback, if he flames out, if they're 0-5 and he gets benched for God knows who, they are the Arizona Cardinals. They are the dregs of the league. If Mac Jones steps up and he becomes a good quarterback, then they're right back in it again. This whole thing right now is all about Mac Jones. It's all about his development. The whole franchise, the whole direction of the team, it's all about Mac's development. And whether you like it or not, that's the reality. They are going to sink or swim. This franchise is going to live or die on what happens to Mac Jones this year. If he pans out, they're set up for a nice run. If he does not pan out, it's back to the draft and back to square one. And I think that's what makes the decision today so important, because this was an affirmation of Mac Jones. This was giving him 100% the faith, the belief, the capital of this whole franchise, and it's going to sink or swim based on what he does with it.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't agree more. Very interested to see what happens next. And like you said, I'd be surprised if there's not a few more moves left to be made.
All right. Well, we're going to be back next week. We'll definitely record again on Monday. We're back. We're going to be recording every Monday now. Moving forward, as we get into football season, we have NFL preview issue. We'll break down whatever moves the Patriots do make between now and then. If there are any more bombshells, we might be back with another episode. But we'll see what happens. Want to thank everyone that listened to this micro episode of the Dr. Football Podcast. And hey, we're 11 days away from Philadelphia. Let's see what happens between now and then. You got anything else to add, Justin, my man?
No, that's it. Take it easy, guys. Appreciate you.
Be good. Have a great night, everyone.